Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christine Marie.
Yes, you are. And you're awesome.
And you're awesome. And I'm the mom and you're the daughter.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm just so grateful today. I just am feeling just the tides of gratefulness that you are my daughter.
Yay.
How darling are you?
Well, thank you. I mean, you're not at all biased, but I...
No, not at all.
You know, I'm your best girl, right?
You're my favorite and best girl.
That's right.
You're the daughter of a lifetime.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. At least your lifetime.
we were just talking about dogs of a lifetime.
Yes.
And we were talking about our Charlie Ray Peters. Who was that? He was a dog of a lifetime. He passed away in August of 2011, and right now we're in the process of getting a new doggy.
Yay! I mean, yes, we are. Well, it's kind of an interesting story. You know, first of all, I just want to say hello, everybody out there.
Hello.
We're your in-house certified law attraction coaches and so much more. I mean, every Sunday we try to come with great authors, great coaches, people who have, you know, we want to share lives with each other.
Real life.
Yeah.
The highs, the lows, the in-betweens, and how we cope with it, how we handle it magnanimously with all our flaws and warts and yet we get through it, don't we?
Yeah, and I would like to tell you that if you're just in alignment enough, if you just are at peace enough and feel good enough, nothing bad will ever happen. Life isn't like that. At least I haven't found that out. But we hope to bring people who have triumphed and found the blessings and found the wisdom in their trials.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you guys haven't heard about from us, we are the authors of The Clutterfly Effect, How to Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. And in so many ways, decluttering just doesn't mean the physical things
you
in
bet.
Your life.
You bet.
It really is the emotional stuff.
Isn't it, though?
And I mean, beliefs.
Yeah, the perception of things.
Yes.
How we perceive ourselves is so important. Do we see ourselves as victims? Do we see ourselves as... You know, my mom used to always say, if it wasn't for no luck or bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You know, it's just a way that we, you know, that the brain sees itself. And that has an impact on our life.
It does. And so as we get older, we want to choose to focus on what we want, not the problem at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe focus on the solution are the good things in life, not the crap that is always there.
Right.
Teaching us, you know, and we want to learn the lesson, move on.
It's so true. I mean, we talk about, you know, that you can either look at the promise or the problem.
Right.
You know, and the promise meaning that you can look at the higher things, that you can, you know, you can look at, you know, the things that God sees in you.
Yes.
And you can focus on the problem. And if you do that, then it's, you know, that's what you're going to get more of. You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you can find our book at Amazon.com. Or you can go to theclutterflyeffect.com as well. And you can send us your receipt for the book, and we can give you, you can email us at talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, and we will send you the audio version of the book as well.
Yes. And that's my joy to do that. I had a lady that sent us her receipt this week and, you know, sent her the audio. And she just, it was so sweet because she said, it was right up my alley. This is just what I was needing. And that's the part that I love. I love it when that happens. You know, like we have our prosperity postcards there. 365 days we come to your inbox bringing little tricks, tips, you know, pieces of wisdom. And when someone says, you know, or emails me and just says, today you were right on target. This is just what I needed to hear.
That always feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
And you can get those right at theclutterflyeffect.com as well.
How do they do that? They just go there and just sign in?
Sign in, put in a name and email, and it starts coming right away.
Yeah, and
it's magic.
They're just about 1 minute, 1.5 minutes.
Sometimes a little longer.
Because we're having so much fun.
Exactly. But anyway, today, Mom, and the halfway mark of our show, we're going to be interviewing Dr. Terry Gordon.
Yes.
And he is part of the Unwavering Strength Movement and the book coming out in the end of September. And you can find out more about that at unwaveringstrength.com. But it really is this idea that through tragedy, through crisis, through misfortune, sometimes our biggest gifts come to us. And how do we have the unwavering strength
like
to get through it?
Last week we interviewed Bill King, who
yes.
I just adored. And he spoke about, and he really just had a feeling. He had a fear. And that he had almost drowned when he was a young boy. And so, consequently, he had a fear of water. And he talked about his wife gave him a cruise for their anniversary.
as a learning gift. A little push in the direction,
you know, and
right?
It sounds kind of fun, and, you know, we're being a little cheeky. But what happened on that cruise was frightening. You know, some people lost their lives. I mean, it was just a 3-hour cruise. You know, but it was like a 6-hour.
Supposedly six, but
yeah, I know. But
I kind of
just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
But so we're going to be interviewing authors in this upcoming book, and you could actually pre-order, right, Jill?
Yes, you can go right to unwaveringstrength.com and pre-order it. And
it officially comes out September 30th. Mm-hmm. So, and there's already book two is in the hopper, and I'm a part of that book as well.
And it's so great because Dr. Terry's story, it talks about a family tragedy in his life, and how that. I'll let him tell more about it. Just a little teaser, just about how he used that, what's going on in his own family, for deeper insight into his own life,
mm-hmm.
and the gifts he's received from that. And I'll talk more about this when he's mm-hmm. on the phone, because there's a line in his story that I thought was so powerful. And it's made me think differently. You know, Oprah has that aha moment, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I have that, oh, yeah, that's an interesting way of thinking of
mm-hmm.
things. Because sometimes, like in coaching, we talk about asking the right questions.
You bet.
When you find that one question that gives you an answer that you're not used to giving your own self,
mm-hmm.
you know you've had a breakthrough.
Yeah, it lands in a different part of the brain.
Yes, exactly.
And you expand your consciousness, and you, you know, you're changed by it, you're transformed by it. And these things, you know, we're saying, oh, you know, and through the gift, and, you know, this doesn't come easily. This is conviction. This is when, you know, you hit pay dirt. You've tested your resolve, you know, and, you know, wait a minute, God, I need deeper wisdom here to handle this, because what I've funded up to now ain't working.
Exactly.
You know? And so you go on your personal spiritual quest to find the deeper meaning in things.
And that's you've always brought us up to believe that as when we were growing up, it how to find a deeper meaning in everything.
Yeah.
And life, everything was meant to happen for a reason. And so I've always relaxed in that in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what can I take out of this? What can I learn from this? And that's how you taught me. And I have to say, there in the last 5 or 7 years, I've kind of, with the new philosophy of, you know, you can have all that you want, and you can achieve your great life. And I kind of have gotten away from that just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think I'm less rounded
mm-hmm.
in some sense.
Well, I think, are you talking about like law of attraction and the secret and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, there's at some level, there's a certain disservice, you know, being done to think that, you know, that you can just get it all, have it all, be untouched, unscathed, nothing, you know, if you're just in alignment, nothing bad. There's just, you know, I believe it's a bit of a disservice that if that, you know, comes across to people. You know?
Right. And as you go deeper with the work and the knowledge and hopefully wisdom and insight, it becomes fuller. You get a more grasp of it. And he'll talk more about that as well, Dr. Terry Gordon will. And I can't wait for him to be on. But I kind of want to talk right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm still suffering from my cold. Like, you know,
much better.
I'm much better.
You know, girlfriend, I just want to say, you've been down for about 10 weeks.
I have. It has been
it's been wild.
My best summer, yes.
It's been wild. I mean, you started out with a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Then you said, oh, I'm feeling better, and you wanted to do power yoga, and you immediately yeah. threw your back out.
Embarrassing to say that yeah. you threw your back out doing yoga. Because it's supposed to be the best thing for your back. And mm-hmm. and literally, I couldn't move for 2 weeks.
No, Jill. Yeah, you couldn't move for 2 weeks, but you've been down for like six.
I've been down for six. Yeah. yeah.
And then as soon as you started getting a little bit better.
I know.
You got another cold.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And this one is like characterized by like major mojo coughing.
Yeah. I know, and so I'm doing cough drops, and mm-hmm. and the women out there know that it doesn't go well for it to cough with women.
No, right. Well, yeah, I hope that, you know, people buy stock in Poise.
I was trying to be a little more discreet than that, but well.
I'm sorry.
But hey, you know what? And Poise is out there now.
That's right.
It's the thing.
That's right. You can dance, you can do yoga, you can do all that stuff.
And so, you know, I've been talking to Mom about this, and realizing that the last couple of years, I've noticed that my plateau for unhappiness has gotten lower and lower and lower. I mean, I'm always a girl that looks on the bright side of everything, mm-hmm. and I always can connect with my joy, connect with God. I always feel that. I feel gratitude frequently, and I have no problem connecting with that. But the opposite end, the other flip side of that coin, I've noticed I've been connecting with that a lot more lately.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, I know.
And I've been feeling so lethargic, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in 2011, we lost our one dog who had a seizure, and he was a dog of a lifetime. He was not an easy dog to love, but he was smart and brilliant as a border collie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we, you know, ran the family around him in some mm-hmm. sense, because he demanded that attention.
Yeah, but he was like you could, his fur was beautiful.
He was just a great dog.
Yeah, and he was just like, he'd look you in the eyes, and you're like, that dog can see my soul, darn it.
Exactly. He'd play hide and seek.
Yeah.
I mean, he was intelligent. You know, I go say, go get a bigger stick. That stick's too small.
Yeah.
He dropped a stick he'd have and go get a bigger stick.
Mm-hmm.
He was just brilliant.
You'd let him out the front door, and he'd run to the mailbox to get the paper.
Yeah. He was, everything we did, he trained himself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or we said, oh, you know, he likes doing this. Maybe we can ask him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough. and so, but he was a working dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had his sister, Molly, who died 2 years later and died last year. Totally different dog. Very focused. Very intense. Not a lot of fun, but mm-hmm. she was a sweet dog.
Mm-hmm.
She also could be a B-I-T-C-H.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, after she passed away, we kind of went through this grieving period.
You bet.
And now we've been talking about getting a new dog for the last, I don't know, really, mm-hmm. really deciding mm-hmm. last couple of months, all about this idea that we really want more joy in our life.
Yeah, it's like we really are looking at this new dog as like turning a page, going to a new chapter. And like Julie said, I mean, it's been, it hasn't been the easiest last couple of years, you know, for you, Julie. And how we see ourselves, you know, like
right.
we had these border collies that are just like truly working dogs.
And they came everywhere with
and if you hear
dogs,
what we're yeah. saying, right,
yes.
working dogs. And so we really have, and not done this lightly, but with a lot of, you know, conscience that you know, we wanted to get a puppy, and we've chosen. Do you want to talk about the nature of this breed? And
right. Well, it's interesting because we all go through this time when I think we crave newness. We crave creating, you know. And when you've had a dog or a puppy, you realize that it's kind of the best time of your life sometimes. It's
yes.
just like, whoa, this is really fun yes. and exciting.
Well, you said that to me yesterday. You went, you know, my heart's never the same when I have a dog. You know, it just, they touch you at such a...
And I know you said today, you said, I'm kind of feeling a little scared about going forward and
yes.
saying I'm committed to the next 15 years of my
yes.
life.
Yes.
Like, you know,
yes.
we can always board them, board the dog. but it's,
yeah, that's us.
I know, that's not us at all. Exactly. But we wanted a breed that was lighthearted, fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered the Wheaton Terrier.
Mm-hmm. Because we really are entering, we have entered, really, this new phase of our lives that is just really going to be marked, but you know, this umbrella of peace and joy.
Yes.
And serenity and surrender, you know.
Right.
And so he wanted a dog that reflects that.
Exactly. And it was funny because in describing this dog, someone said, if you treat him like a puppy and play with him like a puppy, he'll keep his puppy nature for the rest of his life.
I know.
And I thought, wouldn't that be a sweet treat?
That just, when I read that, it just landed in my stomach in a very deep place.
Yes.
It's like, oh.
I mean, I am concerned because they do say they're high energy.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from a place of...
And what'd you say?
Coming from a place for me where it's like, whoa, I'm regaining right. my strength.
Right.
Oh, can I handle this high-energy dog that's coming in October? But yes, I can. It's going to be fun. It's going to be thrilling.
He gets born on Tuesday.
Right around there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they induce or how that'll happen.
I don't know either.
But we're excited. And so, you know, we just say, hey, sometimes you've got to bring something new into your life. So if you're kind mm-hmm. of feeling like you're a little bit, you know, down, what new can you bring into your life? What some novelty? Mm-hmm. We all crave novelty in our life. It kind of gets our juices percolating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
then it's like, you know, for me, the new puppy, it's literally like a ceremony. It's like a rite of passage where I'm saying we're going from one chapter yeah. of our life. Because we all had so much grief over Charlie Ray.
Right.
We could still cry today. Who knows how this dog touched our lives, you know? So we didn't want the same kind of breed for sure.
Right.
You know, we wanted, his name's going to be Elliot. we wanted Elliot to have his own, you know, his own personality and not have to stand in the shadows of, you know, the great Charlie Ray, you know?
Exactly, the great Charlie Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he won't be nearly as smart as Charlie, but he will be smart. You know, they're trainable. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be exciting.
Uh-huh.
And I was just reading yesterday that they're a very popular breed in New York City.
They're
They're good apartment dogs for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yes, even though they need to be walked a lot.
Huh.
I think it's a size. They're a fun-loving dog.
And a nice size.
And a nice size. And mm-hmm. they're manly enough for men and girly mm-hmm. enough for girls.
Oh, I love that.
And they have a very soft coat.
Oh, well, I heard that they don't shed.
Not one bit.
And that will be, you know, one of the only pros after both Molly and Charlie passed was that we could actually, well, first of all, we had to see how really dirty the house was.
You get used to the hair everywhere.
Yeah, I guess. But no, I mean, it's not like we didn't vacuum or anything. But we would, you know, we would clean and we'd like, oh my gosh.
I know.
This was like a year later still, you know. You're like,
picking up
oh
hair.
My gosh. So the idea of, your boyfriend has a, what kind of dog is he?
Saint Bernard.
Saint Bernard.
Yeah.
And literally, he's like huge and big old slobbery dog. And if he just brushes up against you,
yes.
he leaves a pound of hair and slobber.
And
you just have to just, you know, immediately go home and wash your
and
clothes.
I think we said that's what we don't want.
That's we don't want that breed.
Because Bear certainly is a very beautiful dog. And looks like a bear, and sweet as can be.
Yeah, sweet and lovable.
But slobbers like crazy,
yeah.
and
yeah.
sheds like crazy. Now, I have another cough in my mouth, and I apologize for the clicking and clacking with my teeth.
That's okay.
I have to just go with it.
You got to. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So I want
one of the things that it's like called Life with the Girlfriends, but now it's called Transparent Life
yes.
with the Girlfriends.
This click, I have a cold.
That's right.
I don't know how I magnetized myself. I don't know what I did to bring in this cold, but... I call that law of attraction guilt. Just let it go. Let it go. So the virus won. It's okay.
Speaking of won, who won the World Series for the Little League?
Well, you were telling me
about Chicago.
Yes. Well, this is great news. This is wonderful news. I love celebrating kids. I love celebrating. As a former teacher, it's just so nice to hear these stories. But if no one knows, this week and this weekend specifically, the Little League World Series has been taking place.
Yes.
And when they mean World Series,
mm-hmm.
they really mean World
Capital
Series.
Capital W-O-R-L-D.
Exactly.
Right.
And yesterday, and there's been this team called Jackie Robinson West from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a good season, and I didn't know much about because Little League, but now that they're in the Little League World Series, you know, you kind of hear more about them since they're a local team. And they've been just winning and winning, and yesterday they made it to the national finals, and they were playing, I think Atlanta it was, a team that they lost to during regular games, 13-1.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat them. And they became the national winner. So wonderful. And so that day was the World Series, and they played South Korea. And unfortunately, they lost 8-4.
Oh, no.
I know, but it's so interesting because from what I understand, you know, our team, Jackie Robinson West, mm-hmm. is a local team, you know, from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
where the South Korean team is it's the best of every team from South Korea.
Oh,
so
well,
it's like an all-star team.
Yeah, like an all-star team. Okay, gotcha.
And so to think that this team from Chicago made its way up, and I don't know if anybody hears about the news on Chicago, you know, about Chicago.
Not that great.
I mean, they talk about the shootings that happen every night,
mm-hmm.
and the killings and the innocent killings of kids and by drive-bys, and we've had national news frequently this year. And it's just so wonderful to celebrate these kids who've been playing, who've had support from adults,
mm-hmm.
and they made it. They
yeah.
made it, and what fun it was for them.
Mm-hmm. To celebrate something
yeah.
like that.
And they're going to have a parade, which I love.
Oh, no, are they really?
Yes.
Oh, we got to go.
Whether they win or lose, the American
oh,
we've
gotta
go we're going
to
have
parade.
A parade. And they deserve a parade.
Yeah.
And we if we...
Find out when that is.
I definitely will. Probably really soon. Maybe we'll
oh,
go
that'd be
parade.
So much
yeah.
fun. I know what we... last night here in our town was Venetian night, and I don't know, I remember one time Norm and I had happened just to be on vacation in Florida during a Venetian night, and you know, I didn't really know what that meant, but we were sitting, you know, and looking out at the ocean, and it was just turning dark, and all of a sudden this just flotilla, this parade of decorated, you know, boats with big lights and stuff went by. It was just amazing. And so that was our little town that had Venetian night last night. And did you get to see it, Jules?
Yeah, I drove by it. It was beautiful. They had fireworks. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Mm.
It was an awesome time. And it was so fun. So, you know, here it was a very warm day.
Yes, it is.
And I'm looking at the back window right now, and there's two deer just right by the back window.
Oh,
I love that.
Gosh.
I was just hanging out.
Yeah,
so
we had.
Cool.
Can I just say real quickly? I don't want to interrupt your story, but we have two. I mean, we just live in a lot of beautiful trees and stuff. But we have two great big hibiscus plants that the deer have just, you know, they've just eaten. They've just eaten it up, you know. And it's interesting to see life though, because even after the deer have eaten all the hibiscus plants and everything, there's still little buds coming.
Yay!
It's like no matter what, you know, life will win out. So.
Exactly, it does, doesn't it? We
mm-hmm.
just choose more life.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt your story though.
You didn't, not one bit.
Okay,
not one bit. And we're getting ready for a guest in a few minutes
mm-hmm.
anyway. But so I just wanted to say, you know, what a celebration this was for
yeah.
these kids.
Okay,
awesome.
Yeah, I want you to really, I want to see the parade.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Let's figure it out when it's going to be and everything, and let's go down into the city. We'll also make, while we do that, we'll make a food crawl.
We can. That would be fun.
we'll go to the popcorn, the place, I can't think of it, is it Garrett?
Yes. We'll go to Garrett's Popcorn.
Yeah, and maybe we'll bring a Lou Malnati's pizza home.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, we haven't done a food crawl in like a year or so.
Oh, it's been longer than
maybe
that.
Maybe longer, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe longer.
I can't wait. So before we bring on our guests,
mm-hmm.
I just want to kind of go over Unwavering Strength again.
You bet.
And about this movement that's occurring, and the
yes.
movement that you're going to be a part of the next book.
Yes.
Unwavering Strength. And mm-hmm. you're working on your story now, and
mm-hmm.
and I know what it's about. That's awesome to me. About
yeah, and we have, like, you know, in the first book, there's approximately 30 authors who, you know, tell their own personal journey stories, you know, where they had to reach and dig deep to find, You know, we call it unwavering strength, but because it starts within you and it starts with an S, we call it like the story of us. You know,
yes.
That's the unwavering strength movement. I believe that we have a Facebook page at Unwavering Strength.
Can you go on break real quick? Just take a quick break for 30 seconds.
Okay. And we're going to take a quick break now before
sure.
we bring on our guest, Dr. Terry Gordon. Thank
that
you very much.
Great.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth.
Welcome back, everyone, to Life with the Girlfriends, or as Mom likes to say, More Life with
more
the Girlfriends.
More Life with the Girlfriends. We're always looking for more life, aren't we?
Exactly. And as we come back with our Unwavering Strength guest, the real, the movement, we're interviewing Dr. Terry Gordon. And I call him Dr. Terry, and he goes, oh, just call me Terry. And if you go to his website, drterrygordon.com, you see this. Okay, Terry, I hope I don't make you blush, because I can't see you right now. But you see this wonderful, warm face of a man. And you just know that whatever comes out of his mouth is coming from his soul. So you can go right there at drterrygordon.com, see it. And he's part of the Unwavering Strength, and he wrote the book Embracing the Gift. And he also wrote the book No Storm Lasts Forever, Transforming Suffering into Insight.
Yes.
And so I want to say hello, Terry. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
You know, I want to ask you about your impetus to write the first story, or your first book, No Storm Lasts Forever, mm-hmm. Transforming Suffering into Insight. And I think it's still for sale. You can get it at Amazon, and then also I think Barnes & Noble.
That's
you can
correct.
Go right,
you can.
It's wonderful. Yeah. What made you decide to write that book and then also use your gift of writing, because you write so well, and being a part of the Unwavering Strength movement?
Well, it was Wayne Dyer's fault.
You know what? If you're going to blame somebody.
I'm not kidding. It really was. No, Wayne and I became close friends a decade ago, and little did I know why that was happening, but it was purposeful. This is in June of 2009, June 29th to be exact. My daughter, Maddie Rose, had been teaching in Chicago, and she came in to visit for a short weekend. And I was up in my office doing a little work, and she walked into the office. And, you know, it's a parent's sixth sense when you can tell something's not quite right. She had this heaviness that was just dripping off of her. And I said, what's up, sweetie? And she came around my desk and plopped herself down at my feet and put her arms up on my knees. And she said, you know, Dad, I always thought that the older I got, the more control I assumed over my life, the easier life would become. And then with this deep sigh and a single tear trickling down her cheek, she said, you know, it's just not working out that way. And I pulled her up in my arms, and I rocked her as I had for 27-some-odd years. And I thought for a very long time, because I knew what I was going to say to her would be very important.
Right.
And I shared with her, I said, you know, sweetie, I think that's the way it's supposed to be. If we are to grow, if we are to mature, if we are to become more enlightened, we must face greater and greater obstacles. And it's only by overcoming those obstacles that we get to a higher path. And I shared with her my firm belief that everything's in perfect order. And I quoted a saying from the Kabbalah, which is the ancient mystical text of Judaism to her. And in it, it says, it's the falls of our life that provide the energy to propel us onto a higher path.
I love
it's
that.
It's the falls of our life. And I left her with one final thought as I kissed her on the forehead. And I said, you know, honey, we really should be grateful for the crap that comes our way.
Yeah.
And I left her with that thought. The next morning at 6:40, I received one of the worst phone calls a parent could get. The grave voice on the other end of the line shared with me that our son Tyler, who was in school out in Durango, Colorado, had flipped his car over and over, and he had shattered his neck. Mm. And then came the dreaded words, the words you never want to hear, your son is quadriplegic. You can't imagine. You know,
no.
As parents, we fret over our kids when they don't come in when they're supposed to, or they come home right. In a condition that we're not particularly proud of. But when you hear those words, you just can't imagine the impact. And
right.
I had about 20 seconds of denial, and then the doctor in me kicked in. I knew where we were going. They were getting ready to life flight him from Durango to Denver, where he would undergo emergency surgery. And within an hour, I had hastily packed a bag and was speeding up to the airport in Cleveland to try to get on an overbooked flight, the only one that would get me there in time to see him.
Mm.
And somehow I got on that flight. I don't know how. There were 8 or 9 people ahead of me, and I ended up in a window seat, and I was now like a caged cat.
Oh.
I was incommunicado for 3 hours. I didn't know if Tyler was alive, dead, brain damaged, bleeding out from internal organ injuries. It was the worst 3 hours of my entire life. And I felt like I was in this tornado. And it was loud, and it was whooshing, and it was dark, and it was dank. And I was looking down the funnel of this tornado, and it was just pure blackness. And it was just so frightening. And I remember saying to myself over and over again, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't. And gradually, that loud whooshing dankness started to abate.
Mm.
As I began becoming enveloped in this cocoon of white noise, it became this place of unfathomable peace. But I still was saying, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And I won't tell you I heard the voice of God, but I heard the words from within. When God said, yes, you can. And I said, but I don't have the tools to do this. I don't know how to do this. And he said, Terry, just last night, you shared your wisdom, your truth with your daughter, Maddie Rose.
Mm.
You can talk the talk, but now you're going to have to live it. And God said, everything is in perfect order. Even this accident is in perfect order. And then the most profound thing was shared with me by God. When God said, treat this as if it was something you had chosen.
Yeah, that's profound.
Wow.
When I read that in your story, that treated it as if you chose it, it opened up a place in my heart that I was shocked by. I'm like, wow. And you look at any situation from a different perspective.
In a nanosecond, you do that.
Yes.
You know?
And it was just like, whoa. So when you heard that, what happened next to you? I mean, you must have just,
I had come to a crossroads, you know. I could stay on the same chaotic path that I had been on most of my life, or I could take this path of acceptance that anything that came my way, anything that came our way, was destined to be. You know, there are some that believe that we actually choose what it is we're going to experience in a particular lifetime before we get here. And that choice may be made by our individual spirit by itself or with the divine who helps our spirit along the way. You know, the challenge for me was, why would I choose such a horrific accident for my son? Why not for me? I mean, I could see I chose the accident so that, you know, I could make it through quadriplegia. But why my son?
Right.
And you know, I questioned what good could come from something like this. How, what lessons could possibly be hidden in such a calamity? So as I began navigating the storm, the challenge for me became adjusting my perception of these events enough to recognize the presence of God within them. And in order to do that, I had to take my mind way, way, way beyond what I had previously judged as good or bad.
Oh, I bet. Did you?
I'm sorry.
No, no. I was going to ask you. Did you have to? Did you have a practice of meditating or prayer before this happened, so that you had some kind of a tapestry or palette from which to, go from, or did you just have to start fresh?
No, I had been being prepared for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I just didn't know it. I didn't realize mm-hmm. it. People were being placed in my path at just the right moment. One of my patients called me on it. I walked into his room for the first time, and he goes, "Oh, Dr. Gordon, you're killing yourself." First thing out of this, my patient's mouth, he's telling me that I'm killing myself. And he said he saw this great energy about me, but it was all fractured and fragmented. And he said, "You really need to do something about it." And he suggested two things. He suggested that I read a couple of books by Wayne Dyer, and he suggested that I learn how to meditate.
Right.
And I actually had dabbled in meditation back in the late 60s, early 70s, but I didn't need that. I was in control, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So I actually, I took my patient's advice, and I read a couple of Wayne's books, and I took a transcendental meditation course. And I actually tried to call Wayne Dyer to thank him for helping me and never could get through to him.
Of course, yeah.
And in the year 2002, I bumped into him on a beach.
No.
Now, what are the chances of that happening? God, the divine, was placing people in my path, and Wayne has done more to help me be prepared for this this experience than anyone else in the world, the universe, and I'm forever grateful. After actually 2 weeks after Tyler's accident, we were to have gone on a Hay House cruise with Wayne and his family. And God love him, he called, when I called him to tell him about the accident, and he called every day. And one of the things he said to me is, "Terry, you've got to journal this. You've got to write down your thoughts." And I had never done that before. I had never kept a diary, and I really hadn't done that much writing other than, parodies of songs and that sort of thing. But I started kind of sharing my feelings, and I shared it with a couple of people, and they said, you can't keep this to yourself. And it culminated in my book, No Storm Lasts Forever, and Wayne wrote this beautiful foreword to the book. He also said I owed him a lot of money for all the lies that he said about me, but Wayne Dyer has helped me immensely, and I love him.
Well, Julie and I absolutely adore him, adore his works. I mean, I can remember being a young mom in the 70s and finding coming from a dysfunctional family, but not even having any fun in the dysfunction, and I think it was Pulling Your Own Strings or one of his very first ones, and I can remember laying in bed at night just clutching that book and hanging on to every page. And so I followed Wayne's, his own personal journey, because he certainly has evolved in the ensuing decades as well. But, Terry, it's interesting because I find, Julie and I, we have written The Clutterfly Effect, and it is a number one Amazon bestseller, and I find that I love to write, but I find that you have a real gift for writing.
And I don't know where it comes from. It flows through me.
Yes.
And I've never put a deadline on writing anything. It just comes. And it's it's just a matter of accepting the energy, and being cognizant of all the things that are going on around you. There are some beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't take credit for that. It just just happens.
Right.
It just comes out.
It really is. I mean, I think that as I was reading, I thought the way your words flow, I mean, it has the gift is, it goes past my filters. Somehow the words land deeper than, you know, the ordinary reader's filters. And you know, you don't really find that a lot, you know. And so I hope there's many more books coming from you in the future.
I have one that I'm about halfway through right now, and I think the title of it is going to be No Beginning, No End.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's a cardiologist perspective on death. Which, by the way, there is
gosh.
No such thing as death.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I've always had this interest in death, not from a Kevorkian sense, but from a spiritual sense.
Right, exactly. And I do as well. And some of my other psychotherapist friends, you know, it seems to be very much in the, you know, dying consciously and, you know, and all that stuff. I hope that you'll come on when...
I'd love to.
Book comes out as well.
I would love to. I will.
And you know, as you're...
Julie has a cold, so you have to bear with her.
I apologize. And Terry, as I read your story, and like you said, it wasn't happening to you directly, but this insight, this learning, this was coming through your son. Did you feel as not only a doctor, but quote-unquote man of the household, and the father, did you feel you had to, you know, portray a role of the spiritual guide in some sense to help your whole family navigate this situation?
Good question, Julie.
Well, that's exactly the way I felt, and that was the fright that I was experiencing on the plane, because at that point and in those moments, I really didn't think I could do it. And, you know, helping to guide not only my immediate family, my daughters, my wife, my son, but my mother and all the other family members and friends, you know, it was one of those jobs that you're given and you just do what you can do, you know, I never was one that embraced that, you know, God doesn't give you anything more than what you can handle.
Right.
But I have embraced that now. I have embraced that now. And I really feel that anything, you know, that comes my way, and believe me, it's still coming. You know, we still have turmoil in the family. And, you know, when that stuff comes, I always kind of smile and look up and say, okay, I guess you think I can do this, so I will, you know. It happened about a year into our experience. We were back home with Tyler, and it was just terrible. I mean, nothing was in sync, and there, you know, Tyler, God loving, was so angry, and which, by the way, he has gotten over. But I got a phone call from my urologist who said, well, Terry, I hate to tell you, buddy, but you've got prostate cancer.
Oh.
Now, the last thing I needed at that moment was prostate cancer, but
you mentioned that your dad had that, right?
Yeah, dad had prostate cancer too, yeah. And, you know, so I just kind of said, okay, obviously you think I can do it, slam dunk, okay, here we go. And and we made it through it, and it, you know, it worked out fine. So, you know, so much of it is how you look at it. And Wayne often says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Oh, absolutely.
Life totally changed for me in that nanosecond on the airplane.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, it seems like, I'm not putting words in your mouth, because it seems almost, you know, you had this experience and it changed in a nanosecond. Were there ever times that you felt angry towards God, or did truly... because of the work you did previously and so forth, did the acceptance and the surrender and releasing the judgment of good and bad in your life, were you able to hold on to that? Or were there moments or periods of time where, like, you know what, I'm throwing all this stuff out to the wind, I'm just really angry myself, and maybe I'll put a happy face on or a brave face on for my family, but I'm going to find a quiet room or a quiet corner and just scream?
You know, anger has never crossed my mind in this. That's not that I don't get angry and have never been angry, but being angry at the situation or angry at God just didn't happen. Now, there are a lot of times when I'm not real happy, But right. what I am is at peace.
Yes.
I may not be happy. I'm generally a happy person, Mm-hmm. But there are times where I may not be happy. In fact, I may be sad. But that's part of, you know, the non-duality of life. You can't have sadness without pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't experience either of those.
Mm-hmm.
They're really one and the same. So I never felt angry, never blamed Tyra for any of this. This was all destined to be, and it just so happens that we're on this marvelous journey in parallel together.
You know what, I'm curious, and I feel you know, sort of honored to be able to ask you this, but, you know, because, listen, you know what, God talks to me too. And when you heard God talk to you and say those words, did you know it? Did you know for sure it was God? How did you know it wasn't just some, you know, some part of you that was okay? You know, we need to calm him down. But, you know, I would love to have this a wee bit of a discussion on how we hear the voice of God.
It was so pure, and from someplace so deep within. That it wasn't just rationalization.
Right.
That's all I can say. It just was so profound.
Right. You had to take notice, and you knew that it was something different than that you had experienced before. Yeah.
Exactly. But again, it took me years of preparation. I think years of people putting the foundation there, or showing me how to put the foundation there, that got me to that point.
Right.
You know, now each of us in our family have experienced this differently, including Tyler. And the reason being because each of us were at different places when this happened.
You know,
I don't want to say at a higher place or a higher consciousness, but in a different place. But, you know, everybody's path is a unique one. And I'm just blessed to be, in fact, just the other morning, Tyler was having some problems, and I, you know, rushed into his room at, I don't know, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and we were both up and just kind of talking, and he said to me, that we're 5 years into the experience now, and he asked me, you know, if you could be anybody else in the world, and you could go anywhere else in the world and be anywhere else in the world, and nobody would know that you chose that person or that place, where would you want to be and who would you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I shared with him about 6 weeks ago, and we were having a particularly difficult couple of weeks there, and that thought had crossed my mind. Oh, I just wish I could go to Maui, you know? And then I realized I wouldn't want to go to Maui. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world other than right here taking care of my family.
Yes.
And then Tyler said the most profound thing. He said, you know, Dad, I feel the same way.
Oh, God bless.
Which was huge, huge, because he has never shared that before.
Yeah.
So he is saying, he's come to the place now where he appreciates it's the falls of our life that provide us the energy to propel us onto a higher path. And his fall in life happens to be pretty dramatic, quadriplegia.
Yes, for sure.
And he's grown in ways he never would have, as have I. And I'm blessed.
You bet.
Well, and
it's a gift.
About,
you know, this.
Yeah. Well, you talk about we choose our experiences, you know, beforehand. You know, and I always believe that before we come down, we've chosen our parents. and I know that he chose you, and to go walk through this journey with him.
Yes.
As you know, as well as I chose my family, but you know, I just feel so strongly that. Somewhere in the ethers, you guys made an agreement to be here at this time together, to go through this together and learn what you need to learn and take out what you need to take out from this experience.
And it's not lost on me that as we're talking about this, you know, this profound experience and deep, that, you know, I got Wayne Dyer's floating around this. I mean, it's like this guy is sort of like his angel energy. He's just kind of floating around and you know, meeting on the beach, and I've heard him, you know, talk about similar synchronistic stories in his life as well. So it just feels, you know, amidst the hardships, the tragedies, and the stuff, there does really feel like there's gifts around, there's blessings around, and I don't know, just I feel like this Tyler's does he have a sort of a greater purpose that he sees for himself now, or?
Well, you know, my wife shared this with me shortly after the book came out. And she said she believes that Tyler chose to have the accident so that I could write the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tyler has had those thoughts as well, because, you know, whenever I go on speaking engagements, he'll ask me, you know, things about the crowd. And, you know,
right.
I always share with him what the crowd has asked me and how everyone has, you know, sent their energy his way and love his way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's this beautiful parallel path that we're on. You know, we're each really on a solitary journey. That doesn't mean we're alone. God's always with us. But we're really on a solitary journey, and we happen to kind of join in concert with people. Do you all remember the old the ride at the carnival, the bumper cars?
Sure.
You know how you'd be running along and you bounce into somebody and you'd go off in opposite directions?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you'd come right up parallel with someone else and you just would be going right parallel with them. And I think that's what this life is about. You know, we have people that come in and out of our lives evanescently or for a long time or for our whole life. And you have other people that, you know, bounce off of you and touch you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That touch may hurt, but it also is filled with growth potential as well.
Mm.
And, you know, we're on this parallel path right now. And I've had time with my son that I never would have had otherwise.
How old is he now?
How old?
Yes.
Tyler just turned 26.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was just turning 21, and he was this phenomenal guitarist and worked on cars and a rock climber and, you know, weightlifter and, you know, everything that defined who he was then is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now, I believe, in the process of redefining himself. And, you know, again, Wayne's called so many times.
That.
I'm sorry?
You know, there's like after what this happens, and then there's like, there's like what remains. And what remains is like what you said, it's like where you start building from.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, Wayne often shared with Tyler, and still does, you know, you're so much more than your body.
Yes.
And most of us don't really embrace that, you know, as we fluff our hair and we get our Botox or whatever it is we're doing to make ourselves look what we're not. but we really are so much more than our bodies, you know.
It feels so wonderful to hear from a doctor.
Well, I wish more of my doctor's friends thought the same way, but it took me a while to get there. So, in due time, you know, when it's supposed to be, it'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
So what? I'm also known as the practical intuitive, and I'm listening to you, and I just feel there's more coming up for you. What do you have? Do you want to share? I just feel like there's just more juicy stuff ahead for you.
Well, I feel that anticipation too. Certainly, you know, with Unwavering Strength coming out, I think it's October 3rd. That's exciting, and there's some marvelous, marvelous stories in the pages of that sweet book.
Yeah.
I have finished a novel, which is totally different from my. My first book, my novel is titled My Heart Will Go On and On.
Mm.
And like I said, it's totally different. It's a novel. And then, of course, you know, my next book, which I'm really excited about. That's the one I really think, you know, I've been around thousands of people when they die. And it wasn't until close to the end of my career that I had a life-changing experience being a participant, an observer of what was happening each of the other thousand of times. So it's, I'm really looking forward to that book. And it's, you know, it's in there. It just hasn't come out yet, but it will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't wait.
Yes.
And before we go, Terry, you know, you said you were, so are you also a songwriter, or did you just slip that through into the conversation?
My mother said that they threw the mold away, thankfully, when I was born. You know, I used to always take my guitar in and serenade the little old ladies. I'd hop into bed with them and serenade them. And we've done this event in Akron. It's called Docs Who Rock.
And it's
fantastic. And I'm the MC, so I always come out as somebody else. Rod Stewart, Michael Jackson, Lady Gaga. I've done Marilyn Monroe. Who else? Austin Powers.
Oh,
and I do write parodies. So, it's everything is preparatory. And, I was in the theater in high school and college, and I was a singing waiter in a dinner theater. All that, I think, helped to prepare me for what I think my real dharma is, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
So after each of my presentations, I pull out my guitar and I sing a sweet, beautiful song written by my brother-in-law, Eric Neff, called My Way Home.
Aww.
So, I don't know who I am, but I like it. It's fun.
You're a Renaissance man, basically.
Yeah.
You can do it all. That's awesome.
You're a soul man, that's for sure.
Well, thanks.
Well, Dr. Terry, thank you very, very much for being on Life with the Girlfriends.
Been such a joy, a pleasure. And I send you blessings and your family and much peace and joy.
Thank you. This was a pleasure.
You can find out more about Dr. Terry Gordon at his website. It's just drterrygordon.com, drterrygordon.com. You can order his book right there as well. Just hit the little tab,
You've got to come on again because we're just scratching the surface here. And can we make Dr. Terry Gordon a girlfriend?
There you go.
I was just going to ask. Come on, that's not fair. That's sexist. I want to be a girlfriend.
There you go. You are honorary.
Honorary.
Exactly.
All right. So nice talking to you both.
Thank you so much,
thank
Dr. Terry.
So
have
much.
A great night. Have a great
Namaste.
Night. Namaste to you, too. That was just one of our delicious authors and unwavering strength.
And you know what? Just warm, generous, open, transparent. You know what? It doesn't get any better than that, right?
I love the word when you say transparent.
Yes.
Because I think so much we've been just told the fluff.
Yes. And enough with the mask.
Yes.
Let's take the mask off. Let's get down to it, girlfriend.
Exactly. And let's really be, what you heard was true gratitude, that he had gotten to a place of just acceptance and gratitude. Mm-hmm. And
I heard, I thought you were going to say true grit.
Oh, true grit,
I did. I heard that, too, as well. You know, resolve. You know, there's that
for sure.
Steely resolve.
For sure. And you can definitely find out more about Unwavering Strength at unwaveringstrength.com, the movement, the book coming out beginning of October and September. Get it. It's filled with lots of great stories.
And you can pre-order it, too.
You can pre-order it, yes. Mm-hmm. Lots of great stories. And if you want to hear more about us, you can go to theclutterflyeffect.com. You can email us at talktous@christinemarieandjulie.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can buy our book at Amazon or just theclutterflyeffect.com. And, girlfriend, before we leave, anything you'd like to say?
I want to say it was great.
And it was great. Have a great weekend, everyone, remainder of the weekend, and we'll see you next week. It was great. It was great.